Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the UGA Sports Sunday Call-In Show. I'm your host, Paul Meharry, joined, as always, by Jason Butt and Ben Choppy Bachman. Ben's a little under the weather, so he's not showing his face. It's probably a good thing for most of you folks out there, so we're not going to complain at all, but I hope he gets to feel a little bit better. We lost Jason last week due to a
The pot shot king.
He is back now.
And you know what? I'll give Ben some credit here. Last week, I caught a cold Saturday night. It kicked my can I say that word? Kicked my ass?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Well, I think we have
to I want to make sure we're monetized.
We have to wait 5 minutes to get monetized by YouTube, so we might not now because of that. But thanks.
Yeah, I think it's a five-minute rule.
Well, I'm sorry, everybody.
Congrats. You'll have to be the one to tell Roddy. But
It kicked my last name last week, and then Ben, I couldn't hop on. Ben's hopping on. He's better, bigger man than I am.
Guys, if you're joining us for the first time or the 100th time, you know what to do. Go ahead and put in where you're watching us from into the YouTube chat. We love shouting you guys out. And as always, we love it, absolutely love it, when you guys ask us questions, and it helps us keep this show rolling, and we're here for you guys. So we want to answer as many questions that you guys have if you feel so inclined. There's a link in the description to where you can click join, and that will put you into a virtual waiting room. We'll bring you up on the screen. I see Eddie from Ackworth's already in the waiting room. We'll get to you in a little bit, Eddie. And, you know, we'll just have some fun tonight. Guys, we are going to talk about the second scrimmage. Georgia is just under 13 days away, right? 13 days, because I kept seeing that on Twitter. 13 days away from kickoff. And we are going to go through Jason, we got lucky because ESPN predicted the spreads for each game.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that this year. So we only have four games which actually have real spreads on them. We're going to go through them, and we're also going to maybe make our own spreads for the rest of the games and see who's right. We're also going to talk about our college football playoff prediction, because next week is week zero. Can't do it once the games start. And who is our Heisman Trophy winner coming up for this year? So, you know, we'll just kind of go from there. We're going to get some comments. Jason, while I'm getting through the comments, if you could throw it to Ben after you're done, but how was your weekend, my friend?
Oh, man, it's been somewhat relaxing. I think people have we've talked about my health lately, the shingles, then the cold. I had a toe injury at the same time. Out of all this, I feel like I'm finally becoming a normal person. So I am very ecstatic about that. And that's all I need to go into, because it's been a wild month. And Ben, I'm sure.
They say it runs in threes.
You know what? My wife said the same thing. And what was funny was after the toe thing happened, she was like, I was just like, what's next? And she apparently held her breath and was like, didn't want to say it. But then later was like, I almost said, you know, things come in threes. And sure enough, they did. The cold last week. But we're good. We're good to go now. So excited to finally feel like a normal human being.
Benjamin,
Ben, pass it over to you.
Oh, there's my father, or supposed father, Johnny Ballgame, is in the chat. First off, I would like to say, this week has been kind of meh. As you can see, my face is not showing for a reason. But overall, I swam in the pool. Had a fun time. Had to do a lot of yard work. I helped with the tree cutting process. Maybe that's a part of my illness for all I know. But it was a very interesting weekend, to say the least. I guess is the best way to put it.
Well, that's good. Good to hear from you. Good to hear from all you guys. Running Springs, California. Somebody's already asking for Eddie from Ackworth. We'll get him here in just a second. And then Roger Murray watching from Calhoun, Georgia. Guys, again, if you have questions, make sure you put them into the chat. We will get to them. Scrimmage number two, Jason, is now completed. I don't think they'll have another scrimmage, right? That was the last one. They'll just have some practices after this. And Kirby said there's still some spots available in terms of starting positions. He also wants to get his travel roster, which is going to only be 70 guys like it is every year, in check. And then he also wants to, you know, like I said, got a couple more spots up for grabs. One spot that is not up for grabs, and we didn't think it was, right, Jason, is Carson Beck. Congratulations. If you're watching, Grandma Beck, congratulations to your grandson.
Yeah, it's funny. I think there's one person, I'm going to throw him under the bus. There's one person, I think, at UJSports.com, Dane Young. I hope you're watching, because I think he was the one that, you know, kept on putting out hope for Brock Vandegrift to take the starting job. Or maybe not holding out hope, but trying to make it, you know, act like talking about it being maybe more of a competition than it was. I think a lot was going to have to happen through the spring, through fall camp to this point for Carson Beck not to be the starter. And Carson, you know, delivered. I believe even in the chat we have the stats from that scrimmage that were relayed.
Are these the real stats here?
I don't know if they're the true stats.
That's
but
crazy if they are. If you guys listen to the podcast, Barry Watkins said scrimmage number 2, 26 of 35 for 310 yards, 4 touchdowns and no interceptions for Carson Beck. If that's the case, then no wonder Kirby came out and said it.
Right. And the thing is, Kirby had every reason to try and draw it out as long as possible. It's clear the guy's deserves to be the starter at this point. Has done nothing to relinquish that role. You just look at the eye test from what the public has been able to see going back to G Day. He looked like the clear guy above the rest of the group. So congratulations to him, Stan, last year really paid off for the guy. Now he gets to open 2023 as Georgia's starting quarterback.
Well, Ben, I mean, the one thing for Carson Beck, kind of like what Jason said, he stayed, bought into the program, paid his dues, and you don't see, I don't know if you'll see this again in college football, a guy staying this long to hopefully get the job when he wasn't promised it after Stetson, and he stays now to only have the pressure of potentially being the second school first team in modern college football era to go back to back to back. Got to be some pressure on him, right, Ben?
Yeah, there is. I think, well, one, this is billed as, I think, Paul, you were the first guy to say this is the Carson Beck podcast. You declared that actually before last season. So all the bandwagons. I think it was last year because the grandma was on here, and then that's when we said this is a Beck podcast. So right. I just want to give us
I remember this. Show, I do remember this now.
As a show, we get credit as the greatest UGA sports show there is. All right. Now, hey. I will say this. You know, one stat that I found was interesting was the top 50 quarterbacks who didn't start a game yet, every single one of them transferred who was in Carson Beck's class, except for Carson Beck. So I think that's very telling of the talent he is and just the person he is in terms of just wanting to compete. I've always said that from the beginning that he would have been transferred by now if he was so much like, I need to play somewhere else, or Georgia was like, you know what, if he transfers, who cares? You know, we're going to have guys who'll be as good or better. So I think that was a huge sign that he was willing to wait this thing out, and you look at it, and it's paid off. And we're going to probably get into more of the scrimmage, but the connection with him and guys like Lovett and Bowers, I think this year could be very special in the sense of, even though there's no Todd Monken, I think this could be the best passing attack of the Kirby era with him under center and with how deep the receiving core is.
We've got our friend Rhett Womack in the chat saying, what's up to everybody? He says, so ready for talking season to be over. Rhett, you have no clue how ready I am for talking to season to be over so we can actually do the POS on Saturday nights. But you know, we've got to still talk a little bit, Rhett. We got two more. We've got this show next week. Next week, we'll actually have some football to talk about, and we'll go into kind of the week zero matchups. Before we go any further, let me bring on the man, the myth, the legend, Eddie from the A, and we're not talking ATL. We're talking Ackworth. What's up, man?
How are you guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right.
Unfortunately, good. Yeah, we got you.
Thanks a lot. That's off to a rocking start. Thanks, Paul.
The pot shot king, Paul Meharry.
Yeah, really.
All pot shots.
Hope you guys are well. And, Ben, you were touching a little bit on Carson Beck's staying power. You know, 2 years ago, the Arkansas game, I think it was when JT was hurt, and we're all like, well, it's going to be Carson Beck. And he goes out there, and according to you guys, he had a rough practice. And Stett was named the starter. And I'll raise my hand first and say, why is Kirby doing this? Stett's not the future of this program. Carson Beck is the future. And we were all kind of mad about it until we watched Stetson lead us to a national championship. But I give the kid credit. I mean, I thought then Carson's gone. At that point, he's going to be gone next year, right? I mean, Stett's named the starter and basically starts the rest of the year. Carson's the odd man out. He could go start anywhere else basically in the country, and he didn't do it. But I find it fascinating also that Kirby has named the starter. He didn't do that last year. He didn't do that. Well, last year was kind of a given. I say.
Yeah,
that.
Last year he technically did, but
He did. Yeah. But I want to ask you guys a question. If the opening game is a game, say Clemson or like last year, Oregon, does Kirby announce a starter or does he let it play out and just go into it making them guess? I'm curious because we're playing UT Martin. Who gives a crap? And he names a starter. Does that weigh into what he said?
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, maybe, just because, you know, history has shown that going into a big game, you want to keep all the information as close to under wraps as possible. You really don't have to worry about that for Tennessee Martin. And then you just look at the schedule in general. I mean, South Carolina is the first one you have some concern about. So, and by that point, you know, you've already put two games of film and on the – you know, up there for everybody to see. So that could be part of it. But also at the same time, if the kids earned it and it's pretty clear cut, now you're going to be beginning your install phase for these games, for especially the first bit of the season anyway. So you do want to have a true first team out there. So there's also a little bit of that, I'm sure, too, where, you know, you don't really have to game plan in those kind of ways for Tennessee Martin. But at the same time, just call it for what it is. At this point, if the kid is that much further ahead than Brock Vandegrift, then there's no reason not to, especially when the little that reporters get to see in the open portions of practice, he's going to be running with the ones the whole time anyway. So I think that's just kind of my look at it.
Well, go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the difference here is nobody really has film on any of the three quarterbacks and like real reps. Obviously, a couple backup reps in the fourth quarter versus TCU and games like Vanderbilt. Obviously, there's stuff like that there. But you look, you say one of the reasons why maybe against Oregon it was different is because Dan Lanning was their coach and he's seen them. So he knows the strengths and weaknesses of those quarterbacks inside Georgia's program. So that might be a little reason why they're different than all the other Power Five teams from a week one, or if they were playing NC State or North Carolina, you know, they're probably just saying it's Beck because they don't have the intel on them and they don't have the game tape on them. But I also think that the difference with the Georgia competition right now, the Bama one, is I think it was clear cut. It was Beck and they like their options, where Bama, it's kind of a free fall right now. Is you don't, there are like three different guys who can win that job still. That's why you look at the Heisman odds. It's not great because there's a realistic chance Buckner's the starter, Simpson's the starter, or Milroe, which would be really bad for them, is the starter. Where I think Beck was the runaway guy and Brock was the number two guy who they still have some confidence in.
But it's a different mindset, right? I mean, that's why Stett said he came back, because he wanted to be the guy last year. You know, there was no doubt he was the starter all last year. It's a different mindset, not only for Carson Beck now, but for the team. Because he's been announced. He's the guy now, right? So I don't know if that's good or bad for Carson, but I like it. I think it's great.
Couple things with that. If you guys listen to Kirby's press conference, which I always find intriguing because I feel like Kirby tries to throw certain stuff in there. And if you really listen, you can hear it. He said that he had told the other quarterbacks at the beginning of the week that Carson was going to be the starter. And normally that type of information leaks out. We get word of that. That wasn't the case. So I guess he got ahead of this one in terms of I think we knew that he was going to be the starter, obviously. But for him to say, yeah, I told the other quarterbacks beginning of the week and nobody in the media actually leaked it out. Well, that's, you know, Kirby got to say his piece there. Andy Stowe saying here, I'll push back a little about Beck going to start anywhere. There are reports on UGA Sports that he was an SEC QB and would never play at UGA. Now, I will say, Andy, to back up my fellow folks at UGA Sports, when he was a freshman, he did not look good when he came in. He was not that guy, as I like to say. And time will tell if he is that guy, but he has grown tremendously since he's been at Georgia. He had potential. Obviously, Georgia wouldn't have taken him. He was a great player in the state of Florida, high four-star prospect. He had potential. He wasn't that guy, though. Then, hopefully, he is. Now, we've got some other comments here. Barry Watkins, guys, they says they're already saying BVG, which is Brock Vandegrift, will transfer next year, but Beck is proof of why he should stay put. Very good point. I am one. I thought Brock was gone before this season. So, you know, kudos to him for sticking around. I thought that the perfect landing spot was at Georgia Tech with Buster Faulkner. But, you know, color me surprised, guys. So he stuck around. Also, credit to Kirby Smart for keeping all three of these guys around in the program. Right, Jason?
Right. And I think that the selling point for Brock Vandegrift staying here is this. If Carson Beck has the season that a lot of people think he may have, which including me, I think, well, we can talk about it later. You know, he could. I was going to say, you know, this is a guy, he's going to have the full reign of this offense. Stetson Bennett was a Heisman finalist last year.
If Carson Beck, you were talking about that. Okay.
So if Carson Beck has that type of season, you have to expect him to be gone. And then there's an opening for a quarterback, which is why Brock Vandegrift is sitting here still with the Georgia roster, because then he could be in position to start next year. If Carson Beck does not have that kind of season or a good season, that could open up a competition either midway through the year or going into next year that he could still potentially get. If Carson Beck, you know, the only way Brock Vandegrift leaves at this point next year, in my opinion, is if Carson Beck has a subpar year, comes back, but Brock Vandegrift hasn't done enough to jump him at that point.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think the fact that Kirby and these coaches have been able to relay that to him and that he listened to that information and decided to stay put, in addition to, I'm sure, some NIL offerings here and there, that says a lot about the program, because I think there are a lot of wishy-washy kids out there who otherwise would be like, no, I'm done with this. I should have had the opportunity. I'm going to go elsewhere. And it's a very short-sighted approach, because you saw Carson Beck stick with it, come that extra year, back up Stetson Bennett for another year. Now he's the starter. And very well, this could be a situation where Brock Vandegrift stayed that extra year when he seemingly could have left and could find himself starting next year.
You know, Jason, one thing you didn't mention, Jason, you didn't even say the name, Dylan Raiola. You didn't even mention that. Where does that play in?
I mean, if Brock Vandegrift's the better quarterback, then he'll play. If Dylan Raiola is the better quarterback, he'll play. If Gunnar Stockton's the better quarterback when it's all said and done, he'll play. I think you still got to compete for the job. But, yeah. But you know, if Raiola comes in the spring, so if Beck leaves, goes to the NFL, Raiola comes in, Raiola is better than Brock Vandegrift. Brock Vandegrift will transfer out in the spring. I think that's clear.
Paul, I got to ask Jason this because I kind of want to get to it now. Is Carson Beck your pick, Jason? Is he your pick?
No, we're going to wait. We're going to get to that.
Yeah, we're going to wait for that?
Come on, we're going to wait.
See, your Heisman pick.
I said on this show months ago that my bold prediction is Carson Beck will be a finalist.
Yep.
Oh, finalists. But wait a minute. Who's your winner?
We're doing that later as a group.
Let me run the damn show, Ben, okay? You just have hot takes. We're getting there, all right? Let me get there. UGA boys have them excited for Carson Beck. Let's see. You guys are talking a lot in the chat. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep up. You guys are doing a great job of talking to each other here in the chat. Oh, goodness. I can't even – Oh, Foster Moss says y'all are forgetting about Ryan P. He doesn't start a season until midway through September, so we won't have any stats on him. But you're right. He's up there in Connecticut, old CT, which is kind of wild. They don't start their season until mid-September.
That's weird. I just want to throw out there, though, like, I get these quarterbacks. I get Ryle is the best quarterback in the country, but, like, you're not going to convince me that a kid I have not seen or even heard anything at a college game or a college practice come in and start over somebody who's been in a college system for literally 3 years with Brock Vandegrift.
People want to see that.
Sure, it's exciting. It's exciting. But
especially if Monken was still there, no chance, because his system is very complex in the sense that I think a freshman wouldn't start in that system.
Who's to say Bobo's isn't, you know, kind of just an offshoot of Monken's now?
If it is, it's going to be tough for a freshman to start right away. It's just such a complex system. That's why you saw Stetson year. Each time the more games went on, he got better because that system takes time. It's not one of those that's very easy to comprehend.
Look at Jeremy Neighbors watching us from Texas over there, just out kicking his coverage in his profile picture. Can't wait to see you back on the POS, man. We'll see you back on in a couple of weeks. Congrats to you. Guys, another position that is up for grabs, and I want to get your take on this because it seems that it seems like it changes, but I don't think it will. I know my pick is cornerback numero dos. That is two for those that don't speak the Espanol. Number one, obviously, Kamari Lassiter is going to be that number one guy on the island out there. But number two, there's been reports of three or four guys out there. Kirby's mentioned three or four guys, and even one of them being true freshman AJ Harris. My pick, I think it's simple. He played last year a fair amount for a freshman. Dalen Everett is my guy. I think this is all kind of smoke and mirrors and giving other guys a chance. Nylon Green, Julio Humphrey, and the freshman AJ Harris. Any of those guys besides Dalen Everett would you feel comfortable with out there at cornerback too? Eddie, I'll start with you and then run to Jason and Ben.
Is it Julian or Julian?
That was Julian, but he kind of goes by Julio. Okay. That's kind of like his nickname.
Okay. Yeah.
You got to be in the know, Eddie. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm not. That's why I asked the question. You guys are in the know. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm bowing to y'all. All right. well, I've heard some things about Julian Humphrey. Just he's like a missile out there and hitting people hard. So I wouldn't discount him, but you're right. That's a fascinating choice there. And is that the side Keeley was on? I'm sorry. Are we replacing Keeley Ringo on that side, or is that Kamari's side? I know they alternate.
I would imagine Kamari probably runs over to Ringo's side, and then whoever is stepping up takes Kamari's side.
Okay.
Jason?
Yeah, Keeley was the left corner last year. Usually left side's your better corner.
Okay, so that's Kamari, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
So is Everett your pick, Jason? For that
Yeah. Sorry, Everett's my pick. I think Humphrey is definitely the next guy up, the third corner, whoever goes down, Humphrey's the guy. But I would say Everett. Yeah, like you said, he's got the experience. He's it just makes sense. Don't overthink it, right? And you want to get these guys reps with the first team, obviously. But to me, Dalen Everett's the most likely starting cornerback opposite of Lassiter.
Here's the crazy thing, Ben, is that I would imagine there's going to be an extremely short leash on whoever that cornerback number two is. So do not be surprised and do not be freaked out, Georgia fans, if week one, UT Martin, you see two or three guys out there playing at that cornerback two position and somebody gets yanked after giving up a 10-yard pass. Right, Ben?
Yeah, I don't think they have to have a starter until they play South Carolina. Like, you can rotate the guys, keep them happy. So I lean towards Dalen Everett because he was in that position last year, and I think he's the most talented. He's a guy he's over 6'2". He's got great length. I mean, he runs like at least a 4.4. Like, he's a prototypical Kirby defensive back. He reminds me a lot of Ringo from his physical tools. And I think, you know, he was one of those guys who was at IMG. So he's used to the high level of competition. I just see it since he was kind of like with Beck last year, he was the number two. Now he's thrust it up. I see that with Everett. But I think this battle, like, I used to think, Paul, that this battle was kind of written off. I actually think it is very close because I think Humphrey's surprised. And Nylon Green's getting more buzz, you know, recently in recent memory that I've seen in some time. It's just – and also, I don't think A.J. Harris gets that spot. I personally think A.J. Harris is your starting star next year. That's my one prediction. And I think he'll start at star next year and play a good bit there. So I don't see him as a starting boundary corner this year. Maybe down the line, but next year he's probably going to be starting in that start spot because they're going to lose a couple DBs. But I look this year and say Dalen Everett is the guy, and then I'm torn between Green or Humphrey second. I don't think it's just Everett, Humphrey, like Jason said. I'm really torn between Green and Humphrey for that two spot.
Rhett Womack says I know it's a year away, but when Ellis Robinson gets here, in my opinion, he's the most talented corner Kirby has landed at UGA. I know Trent Smallwood, our UGA sports recruiting guru, is on the train with that. Ellis Robinson just became a 5-star on Rivals. He is a freak. If you haven't watched his tape yet, go ahead and do so if you want to plan for the future.
Paul, I'll say this real quick on that. The last decade, I think that it's him and Derek Stingley are the two best cornerback prospects of the last decade. Ellis Robinson and Derek Stingley. I don't even think that's a bold take at all.
Wow.
Hey, do you guys think this could be the strongest defensive backfield that Kirby's ever had as his being the head coach? And because of that, last year and the year before, I think the defensive backs were made better because of the push up front from Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, all those guys, and that made the defensive backs better. But we may not have this year. It shifts to the defensive backs. But this is the kind of backfield that will not allow – say LSU score 30 points like they did, going over the top and toasting our guys. What do y'all think about that?
Well, so I love, you know, you got Starks and Buller back there. I think that's tremendous. A lot of speed and a lot of athleticism. And then I think as we got down, I'm not, I don't mean this to be a diss to Ringo, because I think Ringo, I mean, one, he's going to always be a legend for Georgia fans, what he did in the first national championship. But
right,
I think as we saw down the stretch last year, Lassiter might be better, which is kind of crazy to think about when you look at their careers. Yeah, I think Lassiter, and we'll see. I mean, yeah, you switch to the other side of the field. You're typically going to see, because if you're a right-handed quarterback, it's easier to make that throw on that side of the field. That's the whole reason the better corner usually plays over there. And, we'll see. But I just in terms of what we saw, I thought Lassiter, I think Ben, I think you said as much too, correct me if I'm wrong, that Lassiter was maybe the better corner of the two, and maybe will be as when all things are said and done. So you take that, you take the fact that Everett and Humphrey, you look at Starr. I just think that you could be right, Eddie, to be honest. I think they have a really solid, strong defensive backfield with a ton of experience. And that can't be overstated in this era of football where, you could get away back in the day because it was, 3 yards, cloud of dust, maybe some play action and all that. But now with everybody, throwing the ball so much, you need that strength out there. And this could be, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I don't think he's had as, when it just comes to corner, safety, star.
Yeah. I can't
with as much depth at these positions.
Yeah.
I think I'll say this real quick, Jason, that Kamari Lassiter, I think, is a better pure cover corner. He doesn't get the interceptions. I think that's going to be, he reminds me a little bit of Tyson Campbell in the sense of not the same player, but remember Tyson's biggest knock was he had one pick in his career. Kamari Lassiter's right. First year as a starter, he didn't have an interception, I don't believe. And Keeley will get the interceptions. I remember when Eric Stokes, he was the guy to get that. But Lassiter, I think the reason why he's so beloved by Kirby is his ability to tackle. Eddie brought up earlier about Humphrey, you're a missile. Kirby wants his DBs to tackle. When in the screen game, Lassiter excels. So that's why I think he's a better pure DB. He doesn't have the traits that a Ringo has when you just look at him, or he doesn't have the interception numbers. That doesn't mean he's not the better player play to play and just a better pure cover corner. That's what he is. And to quickly hit on Eddie's question, I think this has a chance because I like the depth. I think that between the combination of talent and depth, this could be one of his best secondaries he ever had, because Starks, if he keeps it up these next 2 years, he'll be one of the best DBs Georgia's ever had. And Kirby loves his safeties, and that was a recruitment that I remember. Kirby was the head of that recruitment for a reason. That was like his top priority in that class. He's all in on Malachi Starks. That if Starks improves, he can be the best DB Georgia's ever had, in my opinion. Well, second, because I don't know about Champ Bailey ever being beaten. I just don't ever want to put that on anybody.
I was going to say, you're jumping out on a
I forgot about maybe in Kirby's era, but not all time.
Drewski, too. So back to what I said, if the defensive line, the hurries, the sacks drop a little this year, we're going to be okay because of the strength of the DBs, right?
I think so.
I could see the sack numbers going up. I could.
Well, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I mean,
I get your point. The only reason I say that is because – Eddie, remember last year Nolan Smith was hurt, and that edge room, they didn't really have many outside linebackers. This year, the freshman, I think Marvin Jones could take a jump. I know Darius Smith Sr. is probably in the chat. Your boy could do some good things. So I think the edge room could be better. Michael Williams is tearing it up in camp. So if we get the more scrimmage notes, he's tearing it up, and Jordan Hall is going to be something on the D-line. He's going to be that next one. So I think the sack numbers can still be good or be up there. So I'm not as worried as some other people there.
Drewski two times asked, how do I call in? It's easy, Drewski. Just go into the link in the description, copy that link, put it into your browser. If you're using something other than Safari and you're calling from your phone, you've got to switch over to Safari to do that. But copy that and it'll take you where you need to go.
Hey, bring if it to I can do it, anybody can do it.
If Eddie can do it, you can get in here. John Matthew says, what's up, family? What's up, man? How are you doing? Hopefully you're all right there. Alex Waller, more death marches coming. And P. Regina Miller, hey y'all, hey, how are you? Dan Jackson update. I don't know if there's an update on Dan Jackson. I'm curious.
He got an interception the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, though, if he's going to play. I told you guys I think he will. Low Elio Joe, he said, me thinks 2023 defense better than 2022 defense. Before we let you go, Eddie, I want to touch on this with you because last year we had a steak dinner on this, and I would love to have another steak dinner bet if you would like. And we can actually meet each other this time because it was kind of hectic with my wife.
Hey, I tried. That's on you, Paul.
Look, I was,
it's always
I was,
Paul's fault anyway.
Yep. I was getting into it. I said my wife was pregnant. You know, I run my own business. It's tough.
Excuses,
you know?
Excuse. My wife's been pregnant too, Paul, 3 times. It's not an excuse.
Fair enough. Eddie, before you leave, this new rule with the clock running, this is going to be different because I think this is going to affect points per game, and I want to lock in a bet with you again for a nice steak dinner. I think this affects, and our man Dave McStats, he works TV. He's in a ton of meetings. He said that everybody's saying around 7 to 8 plays less than previous year. Hmm. I was thinking a little bit more with that clock running throughout the game, but that's what they are kind of looking at right now. 7 to 8 plays less. You don't know until obviously the games are played, and that starts this Saturday. So we'll see that clock running and see if it actually does affect it. Eddie, with this new rule, where do you want to be at for your points? I'll give you whatever you want.
Where did we finish last year, Paul?
We're at 40. We're at 40. Right.
It was like just under 40, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 39.7. If we had not done, and we have to decide this time as well, are we including postseason games? Because had we included postseason, I think you would have won. But regular season, you lost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you definitely would have. That's another 100 points in the postseason.
Yeah, that's tough. But that rules are rules.
I know. That's
and he got robbed. Yeah. He got robbed.
Well, I got robbed on a few of the games where they just started running the freaking ball. I mean, it was a blowout, right? Or it could have been. But that's the way it works. Now, I think it's a great point, Paul. I mean, there's gonna be less plays. I was thinking about that watching. I sat down and watched the Tennessee game the other day. I watched the Oregon game and watching the clock stop. And I was like, this is not going to happen next year. You know, it's going to be weird when they get a first down and the clock's running. That's a big deal, you know, for getting down the field and scoring last minute. That's going to change a lot of things. I don't know. Can I be a weasel and say I'm not ready to – can I do it next week? I got to think about this.
That's fair. I'll give you the week zero games to look at.
Thank you.
I'll give you the week zero so we can see there.
I'll give you finesse, that. Paul. Finesse the crap out of them.
Look. I'm giving him an extra week to look at it, so the number Dude, might be
– What a guy. How gracious of you, my goodness.
Hey, Eddie, the number might be a little bit harder, but
– It is.
You know.
Well, I'm afraid you and I are going to predict very close numbers, like
I think
almost
so
similar.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. So it may not even be worth betting about. I don't know. So
the Dogfather says Eddie would have left you holding the check pot. Damn, Dogfather. I don't think Eddie would have done that. No, he's a good guy. He sent me a
Grubhub. Did I pay up?
Eddie, I was just about to say it, Eddie. He sent me a Grubhub gift certificate, and me and the wife had a great meal off of it. We actually had 2 meals off of it, so good. We appreciate Eddie, man. We appreciate everything you do. I've got a guy waiting in the lobby I've never seen before, Eddie, so I want to get him in here if you don't mind.
Thank you, boys.
All right, Eddie. Dogs. There's EFA. We're talking Eddie from Ackworth, not Atlanta. So hey, Drewski 2 times. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing all right, man. We're talking dogs. So hey, you want to talk to them? There you go. Okay, you got the hat. Yeah. You know, I've got to kind of screen folks when they come in here. You know, I don't know what you're up to, but it's the first time calling in. I see the dog hat, so we're cool. We're cool. How are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. I'm just living here in Athens.
Nice.
Born and raised.
What's your thought about these dogs, man?
Man, I was going to ask you what's that? That was it, Cash Jones, the running back.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we going to see any punt returns this year? Or are we just going to keep doing the catch the punt, you know, fair catch kind of deal?
So, first question, Cash Jones, Jason, I'll let you take that. Cash Money Jones, I think we'll see him a little bit, right?
Sure. Right now with the running back room the way it is, I think he actually could, especially later in games. I mean, don't write him off. But, you know, with Mekhi Mews at punt return, well, I don't know. I think you know, they got some guys that that could, you know, like him. He was a walk on himself too. That kind of electric there at G Day. So kick return, punt return.
Yeah, was there to G Day. He was electric, man. He was electric.
Yeah. So I think I don't know if we'll see Cash too much on the punt return game, but
I don't think you see Cash on the, on the PRs.
But you know, I think late in games and you know, maybe here and there he gets some spot running back duty. Yeah, sure. Especially with the injuries right now.
Yeah.
Definitely. What do you think about Kirby Smart saying who the starting QB is? It's kind of strange.
Yeah. So we touched on that a little earlier in the show. Just, you know, I think it's one of those things, and Eddie from Ackworth made a good point saying if this was Oregon or Clemson, would he have done this so soon? You'll never know, right? But I think it gives some I just lost my train of thought. What's the word? Confidence. I was like, it's a C word. Yeah. Confidence to Carson Beck, and that he has been named, that he can get in front of the team. He can start kind of maneuvering how he wants to talk to the team as the starting quarterback. He's got 2 weeks to do so. I think that helps him out a lot.
Yeah. You think what's his name? Jackson Muschamp. You think he'll end up being the starter?
That's Ben's guy, man.
Anything's possible, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Ben, what do you say, Ben? Is Jackson Muschamp going to have to lead the Dogs to a third national title, being the next
that would be the most Georgia national title ever. Would be Jackson Muschamp just taking, like, it's just Beck has that Dwan Mathis game, and then they just like, screw it. These other guys don't have the experience. They don't have that coach's son DNA, and they just throw Muschamp in there.
Right, right.
I'm amazed that Carson Beck stuck around so long.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for him. And I don't know if you watch the show a ton or not, but his grandma actually got on here with us last year and told us that, you know, he wasn't going anywhere. He's sticking it out, and he made it work. So congrats to him, man. Drewski, we've got to get to a couple other things here before the show. And I want to get to, we've only got a little bit of time left. I appreciate you calling in though. So 2 Saturdays from now will be Georgia's first game. We'll be doing a post game overreaction show. A ton of people call in, and we rotate folks in as much as possible. So love to have you call back then, man.
All right, man. I'll do my best. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, you too. Take care, Drewski.
Man, that's like one of the first callers we've had that is new. Ben, and wasn't, you know, bad stuff on their camera. I'll say that. I have to screen folks now.
It's wild. Because I see, I have the access too. And you just, it's like, oh my gosh. You know, no, at least we got a Georgia fan. That's just
I had my hand on the dump button, guys. I wasn't gonna let you live through it. But Drewski, 2 times, we appreciate you calling in. Guys, I want to get to this. We've got about 20 minutes left in the show, and we've got a couple of things I want to touch on. So we might have to move at rapido pace. That's fast. If you don't know the S-Band.
Wait, I have a question. Is next week the last show?
Yeah, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I have a recommendation. How about we do the spreads next week? Full spreads next week. Let's focus on the 14.
Paul's been planning the day, getting the show ready.
No, Ben's like, I just want it the next week. We're not doing a hypothetical spread. That's next week. I'll organize it because I'm the team leader. We're going to start. We're gonna do our 4-team playoff predictions. And our Heisman's and ladies first. So Paul, you go first.
Wow. So you, all right, Ben. You know what? You run the show. You run the show.
I do.
No, see, Jeremy wants us to go through the schedule, Ben. Fine. How about this? We'll start with our Heisman and our 4 teams for the college football playoff. If we have enough time, we're going there, Ben. I'm just letting you know. All right. So our
Heisman. We're gonna go there and predict 4 games. That's gonna be exciting. You only got 4 spreads. Paul's gonna make up spreads in his mind that make it seem like he's the betting guru when he's not. Look, so
turn your camera on and talk to me. We'll see what happens. Heisman, you've got guys. So I'll run through the list here for you guys. Caleb Williams is +500. I don't know when the last time a guy won back-to-back Heismans. I don't know if that's the best you can get for your money there. Jaden Daniels, LSU +1,000. That's interesting. Jordan Davis. Oh no. Do you see you just popped into the waiting room, Jason? That's old Anthony Spano. If he's here, then the show's going to hell. The show's going straight to hell. Jordan Davis +1,200. Quinn Ewers +1,200. Cade Klubnik plus 1400. And then you've got some other, you know, you've got Michael Penix plus 1600. Ben, if you want to just run this show, brother, you tell me who your Heisman is. I'll write it down right now. Who is your Heisman?
Oh, man, this is going to be very controversial. So I'm going to tell you real quick my thought process. I never pick repeat winners because it doesn't happen. So no Caleb Williams.
Right.
Reason I don't think Beck's going to win it is because of the schedule. People are going to use that against him because outside of Tennessee, people are going to be like, who have you beaten? And he's going to be pulled out of a lot of blowout games and some meaningless games. So I don't think he's going to have the numbers or going to get respected. Don't trust Bama's quarterback situation. Not buying Klubnik until I see it. I'm picking, I can't believe I'm doing this, Bo Nix to win the Heisman.
Whoa.
What?
This Whoa. Is my thought process.
Are you serious?
They're going to be one of the best teams in their conference. They're going to be in shootouts. They're going to win big games. Reason, I know Caleb's better. If Caleb didn't already win the Heisman, because they're harder on previous Heisman winners, give me Bo Nix. A lot of people thought he should have been in finals last year. He's a fifth year. I have a sneaky feeling he's going to put up crazy numbers.
Jason, you can't go worse than that. Carson Beck is plus 2,000, by the way, and Bo Nix is plus 1,800. So, Jason, I'll toss it over to you. That's absolutely asinine. That's crazy talk.
I love absolute it. Crazy. I'm here for it. Okay, so I told y'all I think Carson Beck will be a finalist. I'm standing by that, but I can't believe I'm doing this to myself. It's a legit pick. I'm going to give you this. Here's the guy that I think could be the sleeper that don't be surprised if he's also a finalist. And that's Penn State's Drew Aller.
Yep.
When he came in the little that he played last year, he might have the best mechanics in the country. This kid is the real deal. That said, Quinn Ewers. That's your 2023 Heisman.
I was literally writing down Drew Aller for you.
No. I was saying Drew Aller is my sleeper. Don't be surprised. That's the guy that I'm keeping my eye on. But if we're picking right now today, Quinn Ewers.
Paul, I would say Drew Aller is my boy. We're going to get into that later. But he's not going to put up the numbers, which is why I say Bo Nix. There's a part of my philosophy is numbers. Lamar Jackson won it because he had the stupid numbers at Louisville. Bo Nix is going to win games in shootouts and put up insane numbers. That's my
point. Hold on, Ben. I want to make sure that our viewers that are watching understand what you just said. You just said Lamar Jackson, Bo Nix, very comparable.
Not as talents, but in terms of when you looked at Lamar, was he on an all-world team? No. Was he on a team close to the playoffs? No. But he put up the stupid numbers and wasn't a repeat winner. His next year, he put up basically the same numbers and was insane. He didn't win it because he was a repeat. That's why I'm against Caleb Williams, because they never let repeat winners win. So that's why I'm ruling it out. And also, he's the betting favorite. Why would I bet the favorite for this? Jane Daniels is second. No way he wins the Heisman. I have a weird feeling you might pick him, Paul. Not going Jane Daniels. Quinn Ewers, Quinn Ewers, just his health, and I don't trust it. The reason I'm going Bo Nix is I think it's going to be a guy on a team that's just going to put up crazy numbers. So my thought process was Bo Nix, Michael Penix. And it was kind of a flip of the coin, and I picked Bo Nix.
So you've run through damn near almost everybody, Ben. Leave me somebody to talk about. Jeez. Michael Penix. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
Penix. Over there, Washington is a sneaky bet, right? Plus 1600. I like it. But there's a clear guy here to just make some easy money. It's clear guy. Neither
one
of
you. God, I think I know who you're picking.
Neither one of you have said his name.
Is it Joe Milton?
It's not Joe Milton. I want to pick Joe Milton, but it's not.
I saw him on there. I'm like, I swear, Paul picks Joe Milton. That'd be the Will Levis.
You taking J.J. McCarthy?
Not taking J.J. McCarthy either. No, there's one more guy, guys. There's one more guy.
I'll let you say it.
Jordan
Travis. That was going to be the next guy I said, but no, I'm not on the Travis bandwagon.
Jordan Travis, guys. Last year, 24 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, threw for 3,200 yards, and also can get it done on the ground. That's what you have to have when you're picking your future Heisman. He's got to be able to put the ball in the end zone, not only through the air, but those they like it when the guy can rush. He rushed his last 3 years at Florida State, 550 yards, 530 yards, 417 yards, 7 touchdowns each year on the ground. It's done. Jordan Travis is your Heisman winner. You can clip it, take it to the bank. Just send me a little bit of money when you get paid. Easy. It's easy money. It's easy money. Anthony, let's bring on Anthony real quick. Then I see Andy. Anthony, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm driving right now, so I'm not going to be able to get on the mic.
Well, it's all right.
On my camera. Y'all hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you all right. Where are you driving?
I'm driving back from the golf course. I had to work there today, so.
Oh, it must be nice. Yeah, yeah.
That's a nice gig.
Yeah.
That's my other job. I mean, it's how I get free golf, man. Haters don't hate.
No, you know, one of my good friends from high school, her dad in retirement, that's what he does now. He works at UGA golf course and gets free golf.
Yeah, I know tons of people that work like one day a week at a golf course just so they can have free golf. It's a sweet little gig you got there, Anthony.
Very, very smart. I mean, I play every day, so it might as well be worth it to do it.
All right, Andy, let's stop the back. Okay, did you want to talk about Georgia or you want to just big dick me?
I did. And I remember I wanted to talk about how Jordan Travis had less numbers than Stetson Bennett did last year, but you got him to pick the Heisman. You know, as far as yardage, rushing yardage and passing yards. So like I said, we're not talking to, the post-game overreaction. It's the Paul's Always Wrong show.
That's
really tough. Plus, Stetson's got a national championship and Jordan Travis couldn't sniff that shit. So.
Damn. You know what? I can't lie, but hey, Jason picked Quinn Ewers. He didn't have the stat line last year. Neither did Bo Nix.
No, that's fine. That Bo Nix, I don't know what you guys like give like gummy wise to your employees, but that Bo Nix pick is trash. Oh my god, that's dark. I love you, Ben. That's trash,
guys. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you, Anthony. I'm not fully confident in any of these guys.
No, yes, you are. You came out the gate.
But no, this was – I said
dude, that was
a guy.
You came in spitting, just Bo Nix, just stats and all this. And I'm just going to be doing good in this conference. Who cares? He's Bo Nix, dude. He's garbage. Oh, my God. I was laughing so hard when I heard you say that. I was screaming at the phone. I was like, please put me on when he said that. Please put me on. He didn't say. So,
Dog
but
father,
the Quinn Ewers,
instead of Ben Choppy Bachman, now Ben Gummy Bachman.
Oh yes, Gummy Bags Ben.
Alex
Gummy Bags.
Ben's face now, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Elio Joe. Now we're not. Ben isn't on camera. He's high as hell. Bo Nix.
I was screaming at the phone, laughing. Then you said Bo Nix. Bo Pix. Oh, that shit was so funny, dude. Oh, my God. I needed
it. All right, Anthony, I'm going to write you down because I'm going to write you down and Andy because you guys call in all the time. Who is your Heisman? Okay. Since we're picking on Ben here, I got to get my boys back sometimes. Who's your guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, best player in the country is Brock Bowers, regardless on whether or not Carson Beck gets in the ball or not. But I didn't say I'm picking Brock Bowers. I'm going to go, and I know it's crazy, ACC, I think Drake May is going to go ham this year.
Ooh, okay.
And I have to, and it's not because I live in North Carolina. I'm picking him because he is a stud. And if they let him cook, he's going to cook.
Well, real quick, guys, real quick, before I let you go, Anthony, I've got to get Andy on. We did not pick anybody from the SEC with good reason, right? There's not really an SEC person.
It's a down year as a senior quarterback.
Yeah, the top, let's see. Let me see, guys, here. Jaden Daniels is second.
No, he is not winning the Heisman.
Look, but besides him, you got to go down. The next guy in line in the SEC is Carson Beck at plus 2,000. And then right under him is the man, the myth, legend, Joe Milton.
Yeah.
Joe Milton.
But he's Joe Milton's really good at like carnival games, just throwing it really hard as far as he can.
But no, but
he ain't gonna win.
I like Anthony, I like big throws. Oh,
I'm gonna use this Drake May from a quarterback perspective, one of the two or three best in the country. I don't think Nick's is that, but you gotta understand the Heisman, they vote off that stuff on numbers. I was just looking at numbers because if Drake May looks like the best quarterback and is 8-4 and NFL says he's a top five pick, he's still not going to be a Heisman finalist. He wasn't top 10 last year, and he was one of the top
10. Didn't Louisville go?
That's my
philosophy. Didn't Louisville go 8-4 when Lamar Jackson won?
North Carolina's not a good team. North Carolina's not good. He's great. They are not a good team.
But is it about the best team or the best player? And I'm going
to
leave.
His numbers, team won't allow him to get the numbers. That's my point. That's how the voters vote. If I would vote, I would vote Drew Allar or Drake May over Bo Nix. But Bo Nix is going to have the numbers because he plays in the Pac-12. You know, Pac-12 is garbage, but that's going to – the voters – because half the – Chris Mad Dog Russo votes on the Heisman. He says he doesn't watch the game much. He just looks at numbers and says, I only vote for quarterbacks. That's what a lot of the voters are. That's my philosophy. I'm not saying Bo Nix is the best quarterback or top 10 quarterback. Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm looking at it from a point of what the voters would do because they ultimately decide it. That's my point. And I would agree with you if someone just said Bo Nix top five quarterback. No. But his numbers last year, at one point in the final, before they lost to, I forget who the team was, late in the year, he at one point was the betting odds favorite for the Heisman at one point last year. You're telling me in a weak year this year, with Caleb Williams as a repeat winner as the favorite, he's not going to be like a favorite at points? That's
Jordan,
my point.
Jordan Travis put up the same amount of numbers as Bo Nix with better rushing yards. Get out of here. Hey, Anthony, call back in 2 weeks, man. I can't wait. I can't wait for the POS with you, bro.
Oh, we're doing it, baby. But I just want to say this to Ben real quick. Is Gene, whatever, Chizik still the defensive coordinator at North Carolina?
Yeah.
He's going to have to score 50 points a game to win. So that's numbers. So, and I'm out on that.
And
I love
you
guys.
And he's going to lose.
Hey, I had to, Jason, I had to button the top button here because we're actually about to attend a funeral. Foster Moss put the best comment in the chat I've ever seen. So we're about to attend Ben's funeral. Ben, we will be back. He said, Ben eats undressed glizzies. I expected that Heisman pick from him. I about spit out my water when that happened. So we're back. Ben, Ben? I appreciate you today. You know why?
Why is that?
Because normally I'm the one that has to put these foolish hot takes out there in order for us to get going. And you did it on your own today. And I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. Not being a smartass. Bo Nix, hell of a pick. Hell of a pick. Andy Stowe, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? Okay. I got to say this. There's two quarterbacks. We're going to look at two quarterbacks for this. And one of them had 4,919 total yards and 52 touchdowns. And one had 4,103 yards and 43 touchdowns. Who are those two players? Because those are very similar numbers, right?
You said
800 yards.
You said 4,900 yards?
4,919 and 52 touchdowns. And the other had 4,103 yards and 43 touchdowns. So those are comparable numbers. I mean, I know there's nine different in touchdowns and 800 different yards. That's pretty comparable though, right?
So the first one you're talking about has to be Caleb Williams, right?
First one's Caleb Williams. The second one is Bo Nix. I don't think he's good.
Oh, yeah.
He is, but I do pick Oregon to go to the playoffs because for two reasons. I think they're going to put up a crazy amount of numbers. I think the second year in Dan Lanning, and then I also think they are going to want a Pac-10 team in the playoff. And I think Oregon will be the team that can come out of there. So Ben, I don't think your pick is crazy. I think it's a really good pick.
Ben, I will say your man Bo Nix, I did not know he put up 14 rushing touchdowns last year.
Yeah, it was first year in that system at Oregon.
Yes. And this
everyone's looking at him at Auburn. If people watched him last year at Oregon, except for that Georgia game, which it's night and day difference what his team had compared to Georgia.
Yes.
It's night and day difference. Remember, Bo Nix beat Alabama. He beat Alabama's true freshman in a shootout. Like, I'm not saying he's great, but Bo Nix isn't complete garbage. Like,
yeah, did Andy, while you're in the waiting room, did Ben send you Cash App or Venmo? Which one was it?
Venmo, $20.
Okay. Yeah.
What's it called? No, Paul, my whole point was the Pac-12 is, as a conference, they're horrific on defense. So it's a numbers award.
How many USC quarterbacks have won the Heisman? So many. And who have they played? But they put up the numbers because that's all people care about. So that's my point. That's my logic. I'm not saying, like, Drew Allar is going to be a better pure quarterback than Bo Nix. That's my reason.
I'm just saying, you pick Bo Nix to be your Heisman pick. There's a couple others you could have picked and given the same argument for. With that being said, Andy, I need your pick. I'm writing it down right now.
I'm taking Caleb Williams to be the second.
No.
Yes. I'm taking, he will be the second. He'll be the second Heisman winner. I do believe that they will put up, I think they're going to get beat by Oregon, and I think they'll lose to Utah, but he'll be the second.
Of course, they're going to lose to Utah.
Yes, they're going to get killed.
That's what they do.
Their defense is so bad. They're always on offense. Like, it's, I mean, there's 50 to, you know, there's 50 to 50. So he's going to put up crazy numbers again. And the NCAA is trying their best to give the Pac-10 anything they can. There's going to be some, you know, some backwoods stuff going on.
Just to clarify, you have Oregon making the playoff, but Caleb Williams winning the Heisman.
Yes. Yes. But, I mean, Caleb Williams won it last year, and they didn't go to the playoff. They didn't go to the playoff.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But I just mean that if the Pac-12 playoff team and Bo Nix puts up the numbers.
Because I think it'll be a shootout. I mean, you look at – I mean, y'all know how bad USC's defense is. And Alex Grinch, he's horrible. I don't know why they keep keeping that guy. But, yeah, I think that the Pac-10 – they want them to get the Heisman. They want them to get in the playoff regardless. You know, if it's a one loss and one loss, they're going to get the nod, I believe. And so I think Oregon will get in.
But okay, we're getting to that point right now, Andy, and you can join in here too. So you've got Oregon. Who are your other three teams?
I got Oregon. I got Georgia. I got LSU. And I'm still kind of going back and forth. I don't know. I'm not sure about the other team because I do think it's going to be Michigan. But I think it'll be Michigan because I do think they'll ultimately end up beating Ohio State. But you know, there's the talk of Ryan Day on the hot seat because he can't beat Michigan. You know, they may end up beating Michigan this year, but I do think Michigan will be the team, and I think they'll come out of the Big Ten. So I think it's
Okay. All right. So Ben, we're now at the four-team college football here. Playoff. Who are your four teams?
All right. First, I'm going Georgia, schedule and everything. So they're one. Two,
right.
I'm going Florida State because they return over 86% of their team production, which is why your Jordan Travis pick, that's actually to back you up. They return the most out of every team in the country. Yep. And I think if they beat LSU or Clemson, just one of them, they're in, I think. They'll beat the rest of their schedule. So that's two. Three, I'm not going Michigan. Penn State has a great team this year. And I know some people are going to laugh at it. Drew Allar was a top five quarterback recruit in the country. People think he's the next Josh Allen. If he's that dude, they return a top 10, a guy who would have been the first tackle taken last year, said, I'm going to return. They have one of the top three corners in the country, one of the best linebackers in the country, all coming back. They are a loaded team next year. I know I'm up in Big Ten country, so I would know they're a loaded team. I think they're a better team than Ohio State. And Penn State gets Michigan at home. That was the tiebreaker for me. I was like, Penn State, Michigan. Who gets that home game? Whoever gets the home game.
They've got to go to Ohio State. I just looked it up.
They have to go to Ohio State, but I said Penn State has Michigan at home. I think it's between Penn State and Michigan in the Big Ten this year. And Penn State's at home in that game. Give me Penn State. And then my fourth team, I'm tricked up. I'm just going to go with Alabama getting it because all their tough matchups are at home. They're going to beat either LSU or Texas. And LSU, in my opinion, they have to go to Florida State. They have to go to Bama. They always have a – like last year, they got dominated by Tennessee and A&M. They got embarrassed by both. So I know they're going to have a slip up. So I just have a little bit more faith in Bama as my four.
Jason, what say you?
Yeah, man. Georgia, I think we're all in agreement on that schedule. And then I have Georgia just winning the SEC. If that's the case, Alabama or LSU has to have one loss after the SEC championship, and that's it. I don't know if that happens. So I am going to throw in Ohio State, not Michigan, not Penn State. I'm going to go with Ohio State. However, quarterback shakes out there. I think I've read that actually might be a battle now. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr., the best receiver in the country. Y'all, I'm not counting Ryan Day out. I know a lot of people want to because they lost the Peach Bowl, you know, with a field goal that went wide left, and then they got come back on. But I like Ohio State to come to return and get in. Clemson, Everybody Ooh. Is writing off Clemson.
Ooh.
Everybody's writing off Clemson. They're talking about Jordan Travis, but Cade Klubnik, telling you, there's a reason he's getting some Heisman love right now. I'm on the Clemson bandwagon this year. And then my Heisman winner, Quinn Ewers at Texas. Texas.
Oh, he's buying the Texas.
Him. Yep. The Pac-12 gets no team again, not buying them. It's a trash conference. They deserve to be dismantled. And they're not getting anybody into their last year in Power 5 football.
That's oh, it. We took all the wild picks.
Yeah, you did. I like that, though. I like that. So my four.
So Paul Georgia. Can just go chalk.
No. I had them written down before any of you guys picked. Georgia, LSU, Michigan, FSU.
I knew the first three were coming.
And I think here's the problem. Here's the problem, though, is I'm running into this, which I think it's – I've already called it the game of the year. I think it'll be the game of the year. Week one, LSU, Florida State.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
That's going to be my downfall, though, in picking these teams is one of those teams has to lose.
Yep.
They have to. So that could mess up my playoff bracket here. But I think those are the four best teams.
Wait, I have a question for Jason. Jason, do you think Texas is beating Bama on the road? Do you trust Texas to win in Tuscaloosa? If they were back in Texas this year, I think they're winning.
You know what?
Are they winning in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I think so. And I say that because just watched you know what I just watched? I just watched Netflix Untold Johnny Football, whatever they called it. And what did that guy do? He went into Tuscaloosa, if I'm not mistaken, and beat Alabama 26-23 or something. When nobody gave them a chance. And this Texas team has a really good quarterback and a really good coach with an offensive mind, and Steve Sarkisian, who I think can get the job done against a defense that is starting a linebacker who couldn't crack Georgia's 2-D.
Ooh. Shots thrown there. Just so you
I'm
know.
I'm just saying, we went over Alabama not too long ago. What about this Alabama team says they're unbeatable?
Just so
this
you know,
year's Jason, team is not unbeatable, but I don't think Texas is built to beat them.
They sure had them last year.
In Texas. With
right. But is this Alabama team this year better than last year's team, no. which was a disappointment?
You know, Quinn Ewers had more interceptions and touchdowns versus top 25 opponents.
That's fine. He's still a great talent.
He's still got to progress.
Your first year starting in college football, you're going to have those moments.
So what I deem on this show is Paul's the Florida State guy. I'm probably the Penn State guy at this point. Jason's the Texas, and then Andy would be Oregon.
I got Oregon.
So yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. All those four teams – I have very little faith in. So this shows you how wild this year is. I don't think any of us have full confidence. I think Georgia and after Georgia, I'm not.
Yeah, well,
Michigan is like kind of a chalk pick because they return a lot. But dude, Harbaugh, I'm just gonna say it, he's a clown. Like I do not trust Harbaugh in the non-conference game. He has
with all the distractions that's going on with him too. Oh man, like I could see Michigan bombing this year.
How did he get out of that suspension? Like, how do you just get suspended four games? Now we're gonna push it for a year next year once after I lose everybody. Like, how's that happen? Like, he's a clown.
Look. So Andy and I have three of the same picks: UGA, LSU, and Michigan. Ben and I have two picks together, and Jason and I have one pick together, being Georgia. That's crazy. Before we go though, the line for that game, Jason, is Alabama Texas -6.5. And it is in favor of Bama. Just so you know,
home team.
It's a good money line. It's a good money line to grab if you like Texas +235.
They haven't had 10 wins in more than a decade, and they're Texas. They have oil money to buy whatever they want. They could buy all four of us. They could.
It takes time. This is their. I'm not saying they're back. The Big 12. I mean, you look at the Big 12. I think they are one of the better teams in the conference this year, and I think they can do it.
They say that every year.
And Sark. Sark's a really good coach who had some personal problems.
Good coach.
Really good coach, personal problems at USC.
In Washington.
Never had 10 wins as a head coach.
Hey, that can change. Washington.
I'll never buy Texas, Jason.
I get that.
I think he's a good offensive coordinator.
If I see it, then I'll be like, okay, but they're cursed. Yeah. They're cursed. You can't be that bad. You really
got to break the curse sometime.
Hey, before I see Low Elio Joe in the waiting room. We've never had him on. I want to kind of get out of here, but I want to get him on real quick.
Yeah, get him in before we go.
Look, before Andy goes, though, Andy and I, guys, will be starting a non-dog podcast soon. So we're going to be talking Georgia
Braves,
Atlanta Falcons, and also the Atlanta Braves. So it'll be on this channel. We haven't picked out a day yet, but we got approval from the big boss. So we'll be starting the non-dog podcast. If you're if you know UGA Sports, all the non-dog comments over there.
You don't understand with baseball. Jason's on my side this season because he's going to make a lot of money.
Look, I really want Ben to come on and talk about the Orioles. That is a good baseball team, man.
It is a good baseball team.
We can maybe allow him on once or twice, Andy. Yeah. I'll give him the code. But, Andy, I'm going to let you go, my friend, and I'm going to bring in Low Elio Joe. He's never called in before, so he's always in the chat. So I want to talk to him real quick.
See you, guys.
See you, brother. See you. Yeah, guys, we're going to be starting a non-dog one. It's going to be fun. We're going to talk about everything non-dog. So.
Jason's on the Orioles bandwagon this season because he bet them before the year started.
The odds are too good.
You know, guys, let me know in the chat if you guys are down for that. I think it's something cool that we could do one night a week and not talk Georgia football. But we've been hanging out on this channel for quite some time together. So I'd love for you guys to give your comments on that. Fred F says he's there for the non-dog podcast. Low Elio Joe, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Oh, hell yeah, we can hear you, brother.
That's cool. I've got the streaming set up, but I didn't know if I needed to change my settings or whatever. But
So answer me this. Is it Low? Sure. How do you say your name?
It's Low Elo Joe. Elo is like a gaming thing. Like, you know, if you're in a high Elo or you're a low Elo, and it's, you know, it basically says I suck at video games, basically.
Fair enough. Low Elo Joe. I won't get it wrong now. So glad to have you on the show, man. You've been a long time part of the family in the chat for a while. So what brought you to get on today? Was it Ben's Bo Nix thing?
I had to come chime in. Actually, you know what? It wasn't even the Bo Nix. Bo Nix started it, but it's when he went, you know, he even outdid himself and went to Penn State.
That's a good team.
Bo Nix plus Penn State, I don't know. It's got to be why Ben's not on camera right now. He's got to, I don't know. He needs to pass around whatever he's on.
Right. That might be why he's not on. It might be – is it a head cold, Ben? Because it might be the NyQuil messing with you.
No, I do not take NyQuil, but I am very much under the weather today. But I'm actually confident in Penn State because I'll say this. Because I do live in Maryland, I engage a lot with Penn State fans. So I'm very much into – like, I know their roster like I know Georgia's. They have, like, three or four of the top probably 15 defensive players in the country. And their quarterback is one of the best quarterback talents in the country. Like when Drew Allar came out of high school, and that's one of the reasons I say is because when I look at the teams, I'm not high on Ohio State. They have the worst defense of the three by far. Penn State has a better defense. Their offensive line has literally the best offensive lineman in the country at left tackle, and they have a quarterback talent that they have never had. The thing with Michigan is that Michigan game is in Penn State. Michigan struggles in Penn State. And I think Penn State has its best roster under Franklin. That's why I say I don't think Penn State's winning a title, but they have a good team to make the playoff. A lot of people think they're a sleeper to win the Big Ten this year. So I don't think that's a delusional take. If you want to come up Bo Nix, I get that. But Penn State making the playoff, I don't think is delusional at all.
With James Franklin still as the head coach up there, it's absolutely delusional.
I just don't
He wins 10 games Penn a year. State.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, do you guys trust Penn
I don't
State?
Trust Penn State. I don't trust Penn State.
I trust
do you
Drew
trust
Aller.
Penn State? Wait, I have a quick question for Joe. Do you trust Penn State more or Texas? Year to year, who do you trust? That's my question.
That's actually an interesting question, Ben. I mean, you know, now you've totally swapped up conferences here, but.
Well, what he's doing, it's a classic thing here, Joe. It's called deflection. He's
not deflection. Exactly. Penn State does better every year.
I see what he's doing. Well, I'll steer it back, but I will answer his question. I'm actually gonna trust Texas this coming season more than I'm going to trust Penn State. And the reason is because Quinn Ewers. Now, you know, obviously Jason likes him. He picked him for his Heisman. But you know, they got the Georgia receiver. Forgot his name. But anyways, I think Texas actually may break through. So I would go, you know, to answer your question, I would say Texas over Penn State, but I'm still not to go back to the original discussion or argument. I'm still not taking Penn State over Michigan or Ohio State. I don't care. It's kind of like the, from the, going back 7-8 years ago and saying, anybody in the SEC is going to beat Alabama, it'd be kind of, just asinine to me until they do it and they prove it, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
I love this comment by Foster Moss, guys. I'm going to get your Heisman pick, Joe, and get your playoffs, and we're going to roll out of here. But Foster says, Penn State reminds me of the old Georgia. That is a great comparison. There's always one or two games that you could circle with old Georgia. Like, but, damn.
Paul, my quick point is, year to year, who always has a better record, Penn State or Texas, and who plays in a harder conference and does that?
I think you're preaching to a choir that's
James
already
Franklin
left the church.
Had Nobody Vandy told. Winning eight games. The most games Stark has won at Texas is eight.
I think Ben's a closet Penn State guy.
I'm not a closet Penn State guy. My grandmother loved Joe Paterno, and after that, we're never talking Penn State. Like, I'm not for Penn State. Pushed on me, but I'm not. No. After the showers, I hate Penn State.
I didn't want to go there.
I'm not a Penn State fan, but Caleb King and Drew Allar and Oli, their left tackle and all of them, they have a loaded team.
All I know is last year I bet on it was a Penn State Purdue game. I think it was Penn State Purdue, and Drew. I think that was a game Drew Allar had to come in, and he had to come in for a series or two. And I was like, this kid's gonna be one of the top five quarterbacks. He's gonna be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft at some point.
Exactly.
6'5", 245.
He's that good. His arm was ridiculous. And then they brought in the guy, I can't even remember his name. Who was the guy they just had who just left, who said the 6 years?
Clifford was bad, and they had him.
Clifford, yeah. And what's his name kept going with Clifford for the rest of the year.
And before that,
Franklin.
So to
go back to something you said, I trust Drew Allar. I do not trust James Franklin.
But Drew Allar's the best quarterback he's had, Jason. But Jason,
Ben is going to die.
Drew Allar's legit.
Jason, Drew Allar, JJ McCarthy, or Ohio State's quarterback, Jason.
Drew Allar, 100%.
That's my reason. 100%. You think they have the best
quarterback? Ben.
They don't have the best coach. That's the problem.
Ben, we got to wrap it up, brother. I know you're passionate about your Penn State Nittany Lions. Low Elo Joe, who is your Heisman?
All right, you're gonna hate my Heisman. I've already seen the reaction, but I gotta go with Caleb Williams. I just don't. And the reason is I just think everybody's gonna be hyping up Caleb Williams again. It's gonna be big Caleb Williams.
I don't see it, man.
That's the only way I see that going.
Don't get me wrong. I definitely think he's gonna put the numbers up, but the Heisman, they like to switch it up. I just don't see it going twice. And who is your
Haven't had a repeat in a long time either.
Yeah, we haven't had one. I think there's only been one ever.
Yeah, Archie Griffin.
And I have not given much thought to the playoffs.
So we're putting you on the spot here.
Georgia, okay. Obviously.
Okay.
The other three, I'm gonna go Bama number two. I think Bama's gonna be strong this year. I think they'll figure out a quarterback. Saban will figure out a way to make it work with the quarterbacks. I'll take Ohio State as my third one.
Ooh.
And for number four, man, USC, Clemson, ooh, Florida State, Texas. Give me USC. Let's see if USC can break through. I don't really love that pick, but yeah, that's what I'll go with.
Well, like Joe, man, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Make sure you call back when the POS happens, bro. You got a good setup, and I love seeing your comments in the chat. So it's good to put a name with a face. We appreciate you calling in and being just a big part of the family in the chat too, keeping it going. So I appreciate that a lot.
Sure thing, guys. I appreciate the streams. You guys do a great job. Man.
See you, brother.
Thank you,
dude. That's awesome. And Foster, I got you. I got you for Drake May. You're part of the family too. I wrote you down. So, guys, hell of a show. We went 15 minutes over, but I couldn't end with that. So, guys, we appreciate all of you calling in. It just goes to show me that the POS, when it starts back up, Jason, on Saturdays, is going to be insane with everybody calling in. So it's going to be. Before you guys get out of here, please like this video. I would love it if you like this video. It helps us out a ton. And Ben, final thoughts?
that was a good show. That was one of the best shows we've had in a long time. I'll just leave it at that.
You said that last week, Ben.
Ben, it just keeps getting better and better.
That was a great show. I mean, we went an hour, but let's see. We're an hour and 15 minutes. I don't think we've gone that long.
No, never.
No, we've never gone that long. So
no, Foster said, great show, guys, like always. And Ben, drink some water for that
edible. No, I do not take edibles. I do not take the Delta 8 gummies either. I used to. That just totally messed my sleep.
Look, I can't confirm or deny it, Jason. We appreciate you guys so much. We got one more episode on Sunday nights before football is back. Well, we'll have football to talk about next week. Maybe that Caleb Williams Heisman pick for Andy and Low Elo Joe will let us know next week. We'll see you guys. Thanks again. This is the UGA Sports Call-In Show. I'm Paul Meharry. That's Jason Butt. That's Ben Gummy Bachman. We'll see you soon.